Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat episode 434. I'm your host, Zach Ryan, and joining me today is Per Schneider.
What's up, Zach Ryan?
Miranda Sanchez.
Hello.
And Casey DeFreitas.
Hey, guys.
Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've all been in the hot seat. Took a week off last week for Turkey Day.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, it was good. Had a nice little break.
Yeah.
And we failed to talk about a couple of pretty big Nintendo stories last week. Had a couple of you guys out there were pretty upset with us about that. We're going to rectify the situation. I felt like it was important to talk about The Legend of Zelda. And you know what? We did a damn fine episode, and I don't feel bad about it.
I think it's really... You did an awesome job.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed that episode.
We're going to get back on the old Nintendo train and do a traditional episode today. Got a lot of news. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. Maybe some older stuff. But I did want to start with some bad news first. Guys, Smash leaked.
It's out there.
So let's go over the pertinence.
I guess it's good news for people who don't want to pay for games.
It's good news if you're a bad person.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, you'll be punished for it if you get it, apparently, right?
So we first heard about this on November 26th. Supposedly, this leak originated from a retail copy out of Mexico. And just in case you're thinking about doing a bad pirate job, this will brick your Switch if you're using it. most people that are playing this game have reported that their Switches are getting bricked for playing a pirated copy. Nintendo is tracking
chasing you down and systematically taking you out.
You'll also get banned for life.
That's true, yeah.
Nintendo Online Network.
Nintendo definitely brought out the ban hammer on YouTubers that are playing this game. There's been a couple of prominent YouTube channels, Let's Players, and then also a couple of... YouTube music channels.
It's not even just taking
folks that are posting.
Yeah, the entire council.
Yeah, folks that are posting the soundtrack for Smash, which obviously is a big deal this time around. You know, we're talking about thousands of songs, originals and old school stuff. One channel got hit with 21 different copyright strikes.
And I guess on YouTube, after you get 3 strikes, your whole channel gets deleted.
That's correct.
Yeah,
unless
anyway,
unless you can dispute them. Yeah,
yes.
And these
no
people,
it's kind of hard to dispute.
Yeah,
Well, if you have the music, you likely have the game. And
that's
if you have the game, then you didn't buy it.
Yeah. Some of these people were saying that they had the copies with Nintendo's blessing and were saying that they were pro Smash players and saying that they were Nintendo ambassadors and that's why they had the game and why they were allowed to post things early. I'm just going to, a big nah to that.
Yeah. Just going to chuckle at that and be like,
can happen though, right? Obviously, Nintendo sends out games early,
yes,
but
they do.
Yeah, for those people, they would have the blessing. If they had the real blessing, then they wouldn't have been taken down.
They
yeah.
would be whitelisted.
Yeah.
And, you know,
there are processes for this.
It's just, I just was imagining Shigeru Miyamoto coming down from on high and giving you the Nintendo blessing. I would like to point out that this still is the most pre-ordered Smash game of all time. So obviously, Nintendo's not hurting in Smash sales.
Yep.
But honestly, like, you can't wait a week. Like, what's the deal? It kind of bummed me out.
Someone spent $700 to play Mario Party a little bit.
That's true. No, he found that copy at an airport.
What?
Yeah, that was a story from a few months ago that somebody found an airport copy.
In a hole for a few months? Yeah. I don't know anything.
Someone found a copy of Super Mario Party for the Switch on the ground outside of an airport and then sold it on eBay for $700 about 5 days before it came out officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. That's old news.
Okay. Catching me up. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being on the show. It's an unfortunate situation. I don't condone pirating of any sort of game, and I think that one this prolific and this big that's been worked on for so long by such a huge team, it's a real bummer to see this kind of stuff happen. So I support Nintendo in bringing out that ban hammer. Can't wait to get our hands on our advanced copies.
Hopefully we don't get banned.
That's right.
Playing
it. Moving on, Guacamelee 2 gets a release date.
Yeah.
That is coming out on Nintendo Switch December 10th, which is great. Perfect companion to the original Guacamelee, which came out earlier this year. We gave Guacamelee 2 a 9.3, which on our scale means amazing. I've specifically been waiting for the Switch version of this game to come out. I got to preview it at maybe that was E3 earlier this year, and it is fun as hell. So I'm very looking forward to this. You guys play the original Guacamelee?
Yes.
Have you played Guacamelee 2?
I adored it.
Not yet. I was waiting for this release.
The Switch.
So I played just a little bit on PS4. And then got really impatient because I wanted to move somewhere. And I was like, well, let's wait for the Switch.
Have I got a deal for you?
Yeah, it's like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's absolutely worth owning. It's, you know, we'd use the term Metroidvania.
Everybody take a drink.
Once in a while, look. But this truly is one where you unlock new powers to open new areas and
it's
do
funny.
Cool things.
It's funny because I think we talk about the Metroidvania genre a lot on this show. You know, Paris, right? We have to mention it contractually at least a couple times every episode.
We have to mention what?
Metroidvania. Boy, if you're watching out there and you're playing the drinking game, you're drunk already.
Yep.
But this, to me, this series, the original Guacamelee and its sequel are the most traditional Metroidvanias out there. I love these games. I can't wait to play the second.
Traditional, though, not in presentation and humor.
No,
games are
right.
really funny and,
yeah.
and
I think,
crazy.
This one's story wasn't as exciting for me. I really like the first one a lot. The second one, I'm not a super fan.
Why is that?
In person.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like,
you think there's
like,
problematic?
The Mexiverse thing is really weird. And I don't like it being this own universe. It's not something set within like a larger culture.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a little bit reductive. And it's just not that funny.
I get that. I also think that the first game... so maybe there's problematic humor across both because the first game was like so reliant on like meme culture and, and things that were, by the time the game had finished development, already kind of old news that... Ultimately, I'm playing this game because you could play as a chicken,
sure.
and I'm playing this game because
it's
you get these crazy power-ups and
double
stuff.
Pollo.
And so, like, double Pollo. But I do totally understand what you're saying. And you're not the first person that I've talked to about this as well.
Yeah, first take is like, you know, I'm not digging the premise of this one as much as I like the first.
Yep.
So, okay. But it's still really fun because it's still Guacamelee. So.
Yeah. and we can have fun with Guacamelee on December 10th. Another quick news item here. Mario Tennis Aces getting new characters.
Where's Tina Amini when you need her?
I know. That's Tina Amini's game of the year, Mario Tennis Aces.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah.
Look at both of you guys.
That is not true. Reaction.
I know, it's not.
They both had a momentary shock, and then they were like, no, that's false.
But she loves Mario Tennis.
Honestly, did you mean to say favorite game of the year?
No, I don't know. In a year with Red Dead and God of War, looks like Mario Tennis Aces is coming out on top. Luma, Boom Boom, and Pauline are coming between January and March 2019. I love that little guy. Look at Boom Boom.
Yep.
What a funny guy. And then another big news story that I wanted to cover off. Not a ton to talk about on Mario Tennis Aces. Sorry.
New characters.
But Switch, in an effort to sell 20 million units this fiscal year, really doubled down on the Thanksgiving holiday and posted some major numbers over the 5 days of Thanksgiving. As opposed to the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, I see.
So according to Adobe Analytics, Switch is among the most purchased items from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. That's not just electronics. That's not just video games. The most purchased items are king of custom content. What do we call him?
Commerce?
Commerce. Yeah. Justin Davis was saying that... our particular stock of Switches and the way that we had SEO optimized our search led to just like massive, massive Switches.
Oh, yeah. So we run during Black Friday. We obviously post daily deals content on IGN. And during Black Friday week, we run we curate the best deals on all the different websites. Mm. And the Switch was the most purchased item far through IGN. Obviously, a big website. So
this one?
Yeah, this website's pretty big. The PlayStation 4 sold really, really well as well, the bundle, but it also went out of stock a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so it looked like Nintendo actually had the Switch in stock, and the thing just kept selling. So that bodes well for them, because some analysts were saying there was no way they would get to the 38 million sales number by next March that they were predicting, and that they wouldn't sell 20 million. But now we'll see, right? Well, with Pokemon selling and Smash Brothers selling.
They did sell 115% more Switches in this five-day span than they did last year, which is a pretty major improvement. Mm-hmm. And they made up to and including $250 million in sales over 5 days.
Part of the reason of that might have been because... So Pokemon Let's Go is the fastest selling Switch game far. It sold 3 million units in the first week.
That's a lot. That's a lot of Pokemon.
I love that we have the Poke Ladies on again.
That's right.
Yeah. There's like clapping for Pikachu.
So uh-huh. Go get a Pikachu.
But I mean... 115% is great, but they need to... I mean, in the first fiscal year, they sold 17 million, just under 18 million. And they need to sell 20 million this year. It's not easy to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we wish them
Smash, so maybe some people are waiting for Smash for Christmas.
I think a lot of those people out there bought their new Switches on a Black Friday discount, and now they can play SteamWorld Dig too. So that's good.
Oh, I see.
There's so many games
good.
You can play.
Mm-hmm.
Smash, I think Smash will do really, really well.
Anytime people ask me about a Switch, it's like, yes, you should.
Hot take pair.
So good. It's my favorite console. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Hey, guys, breaking news. Pear thinks Smash is going to do really well.
I have a good source that... tells me
a sneaking suspicion
one of the top selling Nintendo franchises will do really, really well still.
Yeah. Thank you, Pear. That's why that's why you're the why you're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah,
here.
No, I spent the last week researching this.
Yeah, good.
Thanks.
Of course, there is one news story this week that was truly baffling in all ways, shapes, and forms, and that is the story about the whole kerfuffle about Skyward Sword potentially coming to the Nintendo Switch. Over Thanksgiving weekend, Aonuma made an onstage appearance at the Legend of Zelda musical concert in Osaka, and during which he mentioned but did not confirm a potential Switch version of Skyward Sword. Now, I say mention, but it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing, right? The composer had said something about like, oh, doesn't this make you want to play Skyward Sword? And then Aonuma kind of responded to that as like, oh, maybe you could play it on your Switch. But he also very quickly...
Remember, this concert has a lot of Zelda games in it, a lot of music, and it seems kind of funny that they set this for this game.
Mm-hmm. It's very specific.
Right? Yeah. Like,
well, worry
I don't
not,
think it's a coincidence.
Worry not, because as of this morning, Wednesday, when we're recording this, Eurogamer got a quote that says, Nintendo currently has no plans to bring Skyward Sword to the Switch.
At this time.
Maybe next week.
But what about tomorrow?
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. Take a trip back in time with me to E3 2016, when Aonuma on record said that the Skyward Sword HD remaster was a definite possibility for Switch, right? Yep. So sort of conflicting reports. And I did want to point out, you guys did a pretty good job of this too, but like Nintendo is a very... They're sticklers, right? Mm-hmm. Like they control their messaging very specifically, and they make sure that they talk about things when they're ready to. And I feel like this particular instance kind of flies in the face of that philosophy, where if Aonuma's out there sort of like making jokes about it, it's like, to me, that signifies, well, maybe there is something in the works. My question to you guys is... is this just Nintendo getting up to their old tricks? And what do you think about Skyward Sword on Switch? And also, why would they bring the worst Zelda to Switch and not a different one?
Okay.
Here we go.
Ready?
So, Skyward Sword had a lot of problems. I never finished it because the controls irked me that badly. Mm. I hated the controls. It's one of the most well-put-together stories mm-hmm. from a Zelda
this
universe.
This guy hates the controls,
the
too.
The music is great. Yeah, it's like, I just don't even know what
Put
to do
away.
Anymore.
I would love the
opportunity to play this game with regular controls and upgraded graphics, because I never did finish it. And I think it's a story that's worth experiencing, especially in the Zelda universe. Mm.
I liked a lot of the characters from this, so I was a little sad that I also never finished it. Now people are like, oh, two people in a row still haven't finished this game.
Wow. Right.
So I was actually in college when this came out, and so my Wii was back at home with my family, and so I didn't get to take that with me. And so the only times I got to play it was when I went home. And so I just never got around to finishing it, which is really sad, because I made it pretty far.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I just liked it. Chance.
I enjoyed the game.
Yeah.
I was not in love with a lot of choices for this game. Like, the hub world just didn't work for me. I love the exploration aspects of the Zelda game. So Breath of the Wild is the pinnacle, I feel like, from that point of view.
Never heard of
it. And this one was so compartmentalized. Yeah. But all the mechanics were really good. Like, the flying felt really good. That big boss battle in the sky was truly surprising. The, like, time bubble element, the desert and the ship and all that kind of stuff was really, really cool. I did not like the art style at all. And a lot of people say they love the art style in this game.
I completely agree. I didn't like it that much either.
Of anything about... whatever this game is called, Skyward Sword. I think that the art style is one of my favorite things.
See?
Like, it looks like a Studio Ghibli film to me.
So
right, like
it was weird because you went from Twilight Princess to this, and it was just kind of jarring.
I think when it first came out,
Ocarina
Majora's
Wind Waker.
Wind Waker is the big change too, but I like that one.
I think I had the same reaction when it first came out. Like, back then, I saw this and it's like, oh, we just got Twilight Princess. It's like dark, gritty, like more realistic Zelda. Why are they going back in the other direction? But now that I look at it,
it's the best of both worlds, right?
I didn't like the color choices. Like, I didn't like that muted watercolor look, and I wish it was as vibrant as Wind Waker and even cel shaded, because it would have looked really good on the Wii. And the Wii was not a powerful piece of hardware, and it shows with this game where, you know, we were playing this when we were playing truly beautiful games in HD on other platforms. That was a bummer. But I think actually this game gets a bad rep. It's a lot better than people remember it, and it has some really cool dungeons, some really cool puzzles in it.
I will say that the dungeon design in this game is some of these dungeons are among my favorite, but you and I were talking about it a little bit earlier this week, in that one of the things I said to you is that the moments in this game are fantastic, but overall I sort of have an issue with this game. Obviously, I've critically derided this this game on many episodes of NVC, to the chagrin of our fandom. But I
want it to be back, though. I think when you play it on the Switch, and hopefully they'll do the controls justice with sticks and buttons, so you can play it on the go as well.
Yeah.
I think you'll find a lot to like in this game.
My hope for this is that they give it the Wind Waker HD treatment, in that they take a look at some of the things that maybe were a decent idea or worked in generations past, but have aged poorly. You can't have this game without dowsing. I mean, that's such an intrinsic
part. Don't make me find every freaking nut in the game.
But like, some of the fetch quests could be completely eliminated and you wouldn't lose anything in the game. You know, there's really late game stuff. I played through this game once, finished it, and then a couple of years later I went back to play it again. And when I got to the third fetch quest, where they flooded the woods and threw all these puzzle pieces out for me to find, it was just like, I don't want to do all this again. Like, I already proved to you that I'm the hero of time or whatever. Why do I need to, you know, like, I don't need to do this again. Mm-hmm. So
let's do this.
Yeah, but there are things that I really did enjoy about
great
it.
Music too.
Honestly, yeah. As hypocritical as this sounds, watching that trailer kind of made me nostalgic for
you
it.
You totally want to play it now. I can tell.
I'll play it again.
I think
The motion controls didn't bug me as much as they bug some people, but like Casey, apparently.
I didn't mind them that much.
I really liked the way you could roll a bomb. That was nice.
That was my problem. Like, I kept trying to roll bombs, and it kept throwing it instead. And there was no way. I don't know what was wrong with
it. Big news here. Casey DeFreitas, bad at bowling.
That must be it. I'm just bad at bowling.
How did you feel about Wii Sports?
I liked Wii Sports.
Okay. Any game where you perform the same action twice in the row and only 50% of the time does it what you want it to do, that's a real problem.
Especially in the middle of a boss battle when you have to roll it to do the right thing.
And so I didn't mind when sometimes the sword slash wasn't exact, but like some of those actions like bombing, it should always work because you also get hurt by your bombs if you're not careful.
So one thing I want to point out in this conversation is that as we talk about whatever this potential HD remake could be, we're talking about
a hypothetical
sticks and buttons controls, right?
I don't know if the Switch has
motion controls. Like, you could very easily control this game with Joy-Con.
I think they would leave that in.
Yeah, I think it might honestly be better implemented this time around. Yeah. I think the ability of giving players the option to play, you know, traditionally or with motion controls would be kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd love to see what the ratio of, like, how people choose, that would be.
They definitely would have to spend some time on making it work with sticks and buttons. But remember, old Zelda games like Ocarina of Time, you had control whether you're doing a sideways slash or you could even do the spin attack by rotating the stick and all those things. You could adapt everything. It's just that with some of the areas, you wouldn't be able to move and do the action at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can still do the sword hype. Like hypnotizing the door googly eyes, you can still do that with a stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No, I like the door googly eyes. Yeah.
It's from, I think I brought this up before.
Somebody's gonna gift that for sure, you and me doing
that. In Japanese culture, the way you catch dragonflies is to hypnotize them by moving your finger like that. That's why it's in the Zelda game.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that's
so really like cool. The catching thing is you confuse stuff, yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
The more you know.
I like that.
Reading Rainbow.
I'm still waiting for a Zelda collection on Switch. I wish that as opposed to a Skyward Sword tease, it was more of a like an all-encompassing 3D Zelda. We've talked about this sort of ad nauseum, but
that's
like,
the bait and switch. They're like, we said we weren't going to do Skyward Sword, but here's your Zelda collection.
Yeah, I mean, if they did Ocarina of Majora, Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword all in one package. Five games. I'd pay $100 for
the 3D collection and the 2D collection, please. Release them.
Oh, you think like two so separate cool. collections?
Big box. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it's too much good for one box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I could get down with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Okay. One thing we didn't talk about last year, here we are again this week talking about The Legend of Zelda. I mean, if there's anything that this era of NVC will be remembered for, it will be my obsession with Link. But
I'm sure a new one is going to be announced in December, so don't worry.
You think so?
He's a great guy. Like, he's a good one to...
We're going to talk about this maybe a little bit later if we get there, but I like that as your prediction.
Right?
One thing we didn't get to talk about last week is the Detective Pikachu trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to have the both of you guys here and available for these kinds of episodes. You know, I like Pokemon. Pear likes Pokemon. Y'all love Pokemon, which is awesome, and it's so good to have your expertise. So it was really nice today when I reached out to you guys, and I was like, hey, I'm really going to need your help putting the show together. And I put, here's the subhead, like Detective Pikachu trailer. And for hours on the doc, it just said, so good. That was the only note there. It's like, thank you, Casey.
I do my best, as I said.
Right.
But by the way, if you're only listening to the show and not watching, both PokéLadies are wearing Pokemon outfits. Just
That's
so
true.
You know.
Yeah.
Good Drifloon shirt. Got a rep Eevee. Limited edition.
Kind of.
It's like a special run. So you can't get them anymore.
Miranda's cool.
outfit is way more stylish than mine. Mine's just a t-shirt.
And your water bottle has Pokemon on it too, right?
And my phone.
There we go.
And my pen.
All right.
Sorry.
Just to set the stage.
Yeah. Oh, hey, my pen's Pokemon. I got an Alolan Vulpix pen and an Alolan Vulpix cell phone.
You did this.
I totally did.
Yeah. The Pokemon Sun and Moon. Like, guys,
what are you doing?
So how good is the
Talk
Pokemon?
Talk about that trailer.
The trailer.
Detective Pikachu.
I love this trailer. I probably watched it all the way through, I don't know, dozens of times because I worked on the rewind that we did, which I highly recommend everyone to go watch.
It's such a cool rewind.
Really
it's probably one of the most comprehensive rewinds that we've done ever. very excellent work on that, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. not just you, but, like, yeah, everybody across the board, the editing, the writing, like, it's all really,
me,
really cool.
Me, Miranda, and Joshua Yell, and one of our freelancers did a fantastic job on it.
Yeah.
But, man, I never got bored of watching it.
Right.
It was so good every single time I watched it.
Well, I think one of the things that helps that rewatchability of this trailer is, like, this trailer is filthy with Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have been very easy for them to do, like, okay, here's Pikachu, and then, like, a couple of other, you know, known Pokemon, but, like, there are over 60 in this trailer alone, and this trailer is, what, 2.5 minutes or something?
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the full movie?
That, I think, was what shocked me most, because I felt like they're probably going to, like, scale back how many Pokemon they had just because of budget constraints, because it's probably very expensive to get those all correct, and they have to pass them all through the Pokemon Company, Nintendo, make sure they're all checked, officially certified, good to go, representations of these Pokemon. And so, like, seeing that many was such a great surprise. I kind of am with Casey on this one. Every time I saw it, I liked it more.
Mm-hmm.
The first time was obviously the shock of seeing Pokemon in real life, because that's really weird, right?
Yeah.
You can't get over that. And I think still some of the facial expressions of the Pokemon get me off a little bit. Like, they're, like, kind of strange. You look at them and you're like, oh. But, like, Jigglypuff especially. Why is he so angry?
Yeah.
Jigglypuff and Mr. Mime are definitely nightmare fuel Pokemon.
They're a little creepy.
I love Mr. Mime.
I hate Mr. Mime. I hate looking at him, and I hate that you can see the detail in his skin. I don't like him at all.
Mr. Mime.
Ugh. No, thank you.
I guess he's fine.
It is creepy that this human-looking thing lives in the same world with these normal humans.
Well, it's just like, I think looking at an animated or pixelated representation of these things, like, you don't necessarily stop and think, like, what is the texture on that? And so the fact that Mr. Mime's, like, he's got the skin of a basketball is just, like, so gross.
Because it's not clothes. It's just part of him.
And people were weirded out by Jigglypuff being so fuzzy, too.
Yeah, because it's weird.
It looks like bubblegum, right,
in the games. Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's supposed to be able to, like, inflate.
Yeah.
And so if it has fur like that, can it really inflate?
Wow, you thought this through. I didn't think you would.
I mean, there's a lot to Pokemon.
I always thought it would be more like a bubble.
Yeah, so, like, the big tuft of hair at the top makes sense, but the rest of it being so fluffy is a little weird. I thought it'd be more like a pufferfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, scaly?
You know, maybe
it's not scaly, but, I mean, a little bit more smooth. Of course.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, Palumu from Monster Hunter? That guy's fluffy, and he blows up.
Yeah, it's, but Jigglypuff's never been drawn as fluffy.
Yeah,
I think in this fantasy world, it will be possible to pull that off.
I think it's fine. Yeah.
There's some real expert-level analysis happening here.
By the way, watching that trailer, this movie is going to be humongous.
Oh, yeah, it's
going to
make
I think this
ton
is going to open really big.
So, I want to make
a prediction?
A prediction. I think this is going to be the best video game movie we'll have, period.
So,
yeah, quality-wise, not just money-making.
Just quality of story, of well-reviewed, of it being a cohesive tale that makes sense.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that when it was first announced, not just me, but everybody in the office kind of was like, why the hell will they do that? Like, that seems odd. But it makes so much more sense to adapt this story than it would be to try and adapt, you know, a 30-hour RPG story that is, like, admittedly a little obtuse in the fact that it's like, well, you know, go collect these badges and train 151 Pokemon and whatever. Like,
most of the storylines in all the Pokemon games are so broad and big and really out there. Like, you would have to... They're just too out there to adapt to a movie, I think. But Detective Pikachu is so relatable and, like, contained.
Yeah, so what I really liked about Detective Pikachu, which I reviewed and adored, it is so grounded, and it's such a unique way to look at Pokemon that we don't get to see day to day. Because, of course, in the anime, you get to see Pokemon, like, running around, but you don't ever really hear their perspective. Mm-hmm. And so the unique thing with Detective Pikachu of being an actual Pikachu and being able to talk and translate for their Pokemon beyond just Meowth's sometimes casual translations is, like, really investigating, like, why are these Pokemon upset, or, like, what are they doing day to day? And because it's set in a town and not following a trainer, you get to just see life as it is in the world of Pokemon. And it's just such a great grounded way to look at everything. And the story itself isn't going to be one-to-one with the movie and the games, which they've said before. They're lifting a lot, but not keeping the same thing. I actually really hope they keep the core mystery the same. Like, I know they can't follow each beat because it's way too long and there's too many things I think would be maybe too expensive for them to adapt.
I don't know. That trailer looks pretty expensive.
No, but they go a lot of, like, really neat locations with really big Pokemon. And I think that would, because the sheer number of Pokemon in Detective Pikachu would probably be too many.
Oh, wow.
And there's already a lot of things in this that are different from the game.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to spoil anything or, like, reveal any of the bigger twists in case that is a thing. But there are some references in actually the poster for the Detective Pikachu movie that hint at things that did happen in the game. So I'm really excited.
How do you like the voice of Ryan Reynolds?
I don't. Pikachu. So here's the thing. I think he's a fantastic actor, but it already feels like this is Ryan Reynolds Pikachu and not Detective Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first joke that he lands is a Ryan Reynolds joke. This is like a Deadpool joke.
Right.
This isn't a Detective Pikachu joke.
Right.
And that's, I think, what I'm most worried about going to this movie. Like they're writing this character for him and not as this character. I mean, that's probably fine for a lot of people, but for me, it's a little disappointing because I like the sassiness of Detective Pikachu in the games and his like kind of weird old man.
Yeah,
he likes women weirdly and kind of hits on them, but is obsessed.
Yeah, he like hits
coffee.
On human women, right? Yeah, that's my favorite part of that game. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like very mild. It's just like, what the heck? Yeah. And he does it in the trailer a little bit too,
mm-hmm.
But not to the same extent. And I want my Pikachu coffee tips. Detective Pikachu loves coffee and he talks about coffee.
Uh-huh.
He better do that in the movie too. I don't know.
I think that, like, I was just sort of blown away by how much I liked the trailer because I think that sort of cynically I was anticipating not being interested in a Detective Pikachu film at all. But watching that trailer for the first time was like, oh, this might actually be great. I think you really hit the nail on the head. Like, I think this movie is just going to print money.
So,
I think it's going to be huge.
So we posted the trailer to all the platforms we're on. It is our biggest video on Facebook all year, and it's only been up for like a week.
It wasn't just like our biggest video. It was the biggest video on Facebook that day.
It was the number one video on Facebook that day, and it was the biggest one for IGN on Facebook all year. So that gives you an idea on how much interest there was.
Yeah. I love the tone of the trailer too. Like it's just so upbeat and excited.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just they did it.
But
so
it also looks grimy and great.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I was surprised by.
What is it, like a noir film?
Yeah, like a film noir.
I
did not expect
Grime
that.
City is so much more gritty than it is in the games. Like, it's just like a pleasant town, and this one's like, oh, man.
It's also a completely different experience to see it on the big screen. I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to see it in theaters, but it's pretty wild.
Do people cheer? Or what's the reaction of the audience?
I cheered.
So I went and saw Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, or whatever his name is. Terrible movie. But awful movie. But the Detective Pikachu trailer ran in front of it, and I went with a group of people that are like completely uninitiated. Like it was just like my pals that don't play games, don't know Pokemon at all. And the reaction was like a resounding "What the f?" You know, it was just like I was sitting next to my friend. And she leaned over to me. And she was like, "This is real. Like, what is this?" I was like, "Well, you know." So maybe not the target demographic there, but it definitely got a reaction out of people. That's for sure. I meanwhile was over there like, "Yeah, here we go!" And I'm so excited to see this again. But I think it's gonna be cool.
I showed it to my kids, and my daughter just stared at it and said, "Oh hell yes!"
Aw,
I hope they show it at the theater before the Pokemon movie.
Oh, I'm sure they will. We're gonna go see that.
Oh, that seems like a no-brainer. That's tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. It's also the first Nintendo movie in a very long time, which I think is interesting. We obviously know that the Mario movie is coming next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm interested to see more of these kinds of things from Nintendo.
Oh, man, we're going to get a Pokemon movie and a Mario movie in the same year.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Pretty crazy.
And we got Castlevania on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. That's bad, though.
Good, too.
I also wanted to point out, I love how ferocious they made Charizard look.
Oh, yeah. He's all scaly and he's got, like, scars and stuff.
Dragon.
Yeah.
He looks awesome.
There are some reasons for that if it's the same as the game.
In the game.
Miranda.
Spoilers.
It can't be the exact same. It's a different location.
Detective Pikachu is out in theaters May 10th, 2019. So a bit of a wait for that one, but I'm sure we'll all be there day one.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Pokemon,
a
little Pokemon game came out last week, 2 weeks ago, some time ago. And Miranda, you got a chance to review this game.
Yes.
You gave it an 8.3, which on our scale means that it's great. Mm-hmm. 0.3. I'm playing Pokemon Let's Go. Per, are you playing Pokemon Let's Go? Which version did
Pikachu.
You choose? Pikachu. I also played Pikachu. You definitely played Pikachu. What about you?
I'm Team VV. Yeah.
Wow.
That's good. No.
Odd man out.
Yeah. It's good to trade.
Yeah.
No, I'm enjoying this game much more so than I thought I would.
Good.
I love the first-gen Pokemon games, but this is obviously a remake of that, but I wanted you to talk a little bit about this game. Obviously, the first generation of Pokemon is so important to you. You got a chance to review this. What was it like going back to this game in a sort of reimagined format?
So when it first popped in, it was even with the demo at E3, it's just so strange to see this world in 3D and just so colorful and alive. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I was most excited about first, is seeing the Pokemon to scale in this world, just wandering around, and how awesome that is. And just to have like another Pokemon following you, whichever friend you want, along with your pair or your partner Pokemon. And that just got me so excited to get in this world. And mm-hmm. it's pretty much what I'd expect it to be. You know, it's Pokemon Yellow going to Kanto.
Right.
But with better effects, a different catching system, which I do have to kind of be a little bit wary about, because I wanted it to be a little bit more solid, like it has been developed through Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
So if for some reason you don't know what the deal is with the catching system in Pokemon Let's Go, it uses the same system as Pokemon Go, where you have a reticle and you just throw Pokeballs at the Pokemon in that reticle and yeah. try to catch it.
It's
very simple.
It's basically battery, right? Like you either catch it or you don't. There's no yes. battle. There's no, yeah.
Don't whittle down its HP.
Right. Yes. So you just throw it. So the problem with that is that it's not super clear whether or not you can catch it. So the reticle is color based. Mm-hmm. So it's green is you're probably going to get it. Yellow is, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder. And then red, of course, is that it's going to be very hard to catch. And that scales as you get to higher level Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also it changes with the Pokeball type you use. So of course, if you're using an Ultra Ball, you have a very easy chance to catch a low level Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use an Ultra Ball on a high level Pokemon, you're not really guaranteed to get it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's all these other factors that play into how easily you can catch it. But I found a lot of times that color didn't really mean anything. So like whenever I went to go catch, say, Eradicate that was level like 40 something, using an Ultra Ball, easy. But if I also used a regular Pokeball, even though it said it was red, it was easy to catch.
Oh.
So like there's not necessarily the first try, but with fewer Pokeballs sometimes than an Ultra Ball. And like that is actually really important, because the cost difference between those is huge.
Yeah.
And your money is actually really important in the end game. Mm-hmm. By the time you get there, just because you've already battled kind of everybody, and it's like what you have is what you have, and you can go get money by grinding through just through the Pokemon League again if you want to do that. That's kind of really it.
Yeah.
Or if you're selling things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find random stuff in Cerulean Cave, but it's not, they're not super common.
And so
the tip from the Wikis team is don't buy the Ultra Balls.
No, you do need to buy the Ultra Balls. Yeah. The problem is my biggest criticism with this is how disappointed I was with that randomness of the catch system, because it should have been more clear. Like it feels like Pokemon Go is better about that.
Well, they don't do a great job of explaining what those color rings mean either.
Yeah.
Because early in the game, I was trying to catch some sort of Butterfree, and I remember I was just throwing balls over and over and over again, and like literally like 15 or 16, because I was just like, I just want to catch this friggin' thing. And then finally I did, and then I realized like, oh, it had a different reticle, like it should have tipped me off.
So that's kind of something I was disappointed about with it, but generally I really do like the change of it being like kind of a more casual approach to Pokemon, because that's what this is. This is how it's marketed. It's like it's a little bit more easygoing, revisiting Kanto, and if it's someone's first time to play this, then it's a little bit easier to get them into the series. That's not saying that a younger player can't do that. Like that's not what we're saying. Yeah. It's a new person who doesn't know anything about Pokemon, or, you know, maybe wants to play with a friend who's unfamiliar with it and doesn't want to do all the grindy battles, don't have to.
Yeah, I tweeted about this as well, and this is one of those games that I had sort of decided that I was probably just going to stay away from, because I have played Red and Blue so many times, and then I recently played Yellow when it was re-released on 3DS, so pretty recently. And so I thought, I don't need to play this again, but then when I got my copy and I started playing it, it's so joyous and so fun and looks so good and is such a different like reimagination of those games that, you know, I was talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, I'm really having a great time with this. Like, you know, I feel silly for having said that I probably wouldn't play it. And I got a lot of people tweeting at me that were saying like, yeah, this is my first time with a Pokemon game. I'm loving it. It's really great. Like, what a cool way to get introduced to this series. So,
I think my favorite change outside of the graphical updates, obviously, my favorite change is that you can see the Pokemon in the tall grass. Yeah.
It's so good.
Since Secret of Mana, I wanted RPGs to always do that.
I want them to keep, if they're going to keep any aspect of this in the core game coming out next year, I want them to keep Pokemon in the overworld.
Yeah.
That'd be so nice, because then you can just avoid the Pokemon you don't want.
Yeah.
Going through any cave and avoiding every single Zubat I saw was pure magic. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to see you
still
ever again.
PTSD
go away.
From
Yeah.
But I do feel you about the sort of randomness of the catching and things like that. And I also, frankly, like, I miss the amount of battles. Like, it streamlines the game quite a bit. And I feel like you get through, like, I was sort of shocked at how quickly I got to the first gym because you can just meander around the Pokemon that you don't want to catch if you're not a completionist. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to like get into these random encounters and stuff. And once you do get into the even a trainer battle, like they're so fast that it kind of... I don't know. Like, I miss the battles with the random Pokemon, but then the battles with the trainers are pretty good, and they're pretty traditional. So, but it does streamline things quite a bit.
Yeah, what I'm hoping for the next one is, because I'm pretty sure there will be a next one, indicating based on sales and also based on a hint at the end that I don't want to spoil, I think I would like to see them have a way to re-challenge trainers outside of gyms and stuff, just like, because it'd be nice to have a new set.
Like in Gold and Silver, you had like the phone call system. Yeah. Like they'd call you and be like, hey, come back and battle me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you mean next one, another remake? Because they did announce the full game for next year.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so if they do another Let's Go for, say,
like another Let's
Gold
Go
and Silver
type. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. The you know, there are a lot of things I like about this game. There are two things. I'm a little bummed they didn't get this to run at 60 frames per second because it's not the most... like elaborate looking game. Like it feels a little archaic that it runs at 30 with these visuals. Mm. But the thing that still always bugs me is that they haven't added the Pokemon voices for all the Pokemon. But
I kind of like the Game Boy era like growls and stuff. Like they're so nostalgic.
Yeah, but still
seems out of place here.
Yeah,
I've always been a little curious as to why they choose that for the design. When of course Pikachu and Eevee get their voices.
Mm-hmm.
But I know obviously those are supposed to be your special Pokemon, and they're meant to do something else. And I think that's another thing I really loved about this was how at this front and center Pikachu and Eevee were in their respective games, and they really do make them such an important character in this, and they do such a great job of like making them so emotive. And my Pikachu
so
gets
cute.
Really fierce.
Yeah.
I love it. No, like whenever you go to play with it, it always makes funny faces.
Right.
I've gotten some like really great reactions, and I always screen cap them. So
that's cute.
Good.
And I want to like, your partner Pokemon in this game are so overpowered, especially Eevee.
Yes.
Mm. Like Eevee can learn. So but Pikachu gets 4 special moves.
I've only found 3.
Okay, maybe 3. I'm
so
playing
you have
Eevee one.
The 3 that they teach you, unless I somehow missed one.
Yeah. No.
And then you have the 4th one with when you shake the Joy-Con.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Eevee has, I think, 9 special attacks, and they are all do at least 90 damage. Mm. And you can get one for like every single type, so you don't have to switch out to get the type advantage with Eevee. Mm-hmm. And then most of them get things like one of them heals you. The Eevee's grass attack is basically just a 90 damage leech seed. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Eevee's OP.
So you're saying that the Pikachu version is the expert version for the real players? Yeah.
Nice.
Pikachu gets a priority move that always does critical hits, and it gets the stab attack bonus. So
she took
so
it
I,
right
I would
away.
Say, though, the Eevee version is definitely easier.
Yes.
Like, you can make it easier. But the thing is, nothing says that you have to use Pikachu or Eevee in your party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to make this easy, but you have the option to have an easier playthrough if you focus on just using them, because their stats are, like, out of this world.
Yeah, they when you get these Pokemon, they automatically have the best individual values that they can, which is basically what makes every Pokemon unique, and they have the max stats that they can have for that species of Pokemon. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's also funny, like you mentioned that you don't necessarily have to have them in your party, and all the marketing material and stuff we've seen Pikachu and Eevee sort of tailing along behind you. But one thing that is awesome about this game is that you can elect to put any Pokemon there. Any Pokemon will follow you, or in some cases run out in front of you, or in some cases carry you on their stomach or on their back. And there's 171 unique animations for each of these Pokemon, which is so cool. There's a video that Andrew Goldfarb and Brian Malkowitz produced that is all of the animations kind of strung together. And some of them are so funny and so, like, they're kind of reactionary in that if you're, what's the round guy that's
Norlax?
He's all rocky. Golem? Is that
Golem is one of them. There's also Sandslash.
Yeah. So if you go uphill, he rolls really slowly. And if you go downhill, he rolls really fast.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I love that little attention to detail. Like, it's not just the same running animation everywhere. Like, they change depending on their terrain. Yeah.
A lot of the baby Pokemon will just kind of like trail behind you.
Like Caterpie.
Caterpie's so slow.
And they even made different animations for the Alolan form Pokemon.
Yeah.
Just so much attention to detail.
Psychedelic Muk is really cool to see in the game. I really like him a lot. Yeah.
Gross.
My biggest complaint about these Pokemon is that you can't ride the legendary birds.
Yeah.
Like, what? I guess it makes you wouldn't want to ride fire, but you ride Rapidash.
Yeah. So my headcanon for that was that they're just they're legendary, so the respect to not write them.
So, I guess it's like, just think back.
I feel like we could just walk out.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And like the camera would stay on them, and like 2 hours we'd come better back.
It's like, well, I could actually break down everything to you. I think one of the other things I did want to mention that I found kind of disappointing was the motion controls. So sometimes when you're flinging Pokeballs, it just goes somewhere else. Or if a Pokemon,
with a Joy-Con or with a Pokeball controller?
Well, with either. Yeah. Like if you're trying to use motion controls, some of the Pokemon will move, and you can use berries to get them to stop moving, but you're kind of limited on berries unless you've just grinded to catch a bunch of Pokemon and hopefully randomly drop berries.
Yep.
So when one's moving and you're trying to throw it that like left or you're trying to throw it right and it doesn't do that, it's just so frustrating, especially when you're like spending something that you paid for.
One tip for throwing Pokeballs at an angle is to use your Joy-Con or Pokeball like a Frisbee.
Mm. Yeah.
And I heard that Well, I know.
Not literally. Like, don't let go.
Don't let go.
Right.
But you have to have the little wrist strap on. Then you're fine.
Where can people find more Pokemon tips, Casey?
You can find more Pokemon tips on our Pokemon Let's Go Wiki. You can go to Google and type in Pokemon Let's Go Wiki IGN, and it should be the first
Damn
results.
It, Casey.
Is it good?
I think it's pretty
Is
good.
Is it thorough?
Yeah.
It's pretty thorough. Yeah.
I have to play devil's advocate here and pose a question to y'all. Mm-hmm. And that is, isn't this just Pokemon Yellow? I mean, how much of it is right? But I mean, like, I'm enjoying it in spite of the fact that like I've recently played Pokemon.
Yeah.
But if you've played the first generation of Pokemon a number of times, like the both of you have, is it worth a casual Pokemon fan jumping back into it and being like, "Oh yeah, I've already played this game," or do you find that it's a little redundant or tedious?
I think, of course, like there's some changes narratively that kind of acknowledge that this isn't the first time you've been to Kanto.
Okay.
And I think it's just very subtle, but it's just nice. It's like a welcome back. And of course the changes in the mechanics are pretty huge, so if you are a little tired of going back through Kanto, you will have a faster journey depending on how you choose to play.
Casey, you've got a couple of meta changes that you've outlined here.
Oh, yeah.
That
I'm
are
sorry.
They are very specific.
Yeah, so this is so one of the reasons I was actually really excited to review this is because it's not technically one of the core franchise games, so it's not going to be like top tier competitive play game, which is perfect for me. Also why I reviewed Detective Pikachu, because I'm not super into that. Like my version of Pokemon is, these are my friends, I love you despite your stats, we'll do our best together.
And this game is perfect for that.
Yeah, and so one thing I have liked is because I do catch so many Pokemon, I'm not attached to just one of them.
Okay.
And so then I choose the best one, but it's a lot easier to do that as opposed to other games where I felt like I had to really try hard to get this one Pokemon because it's so random. And so it's let me to get into the competitive nature just a little bit more, but no breeding or any of that crazy
there's
stuff.
So there are two introductions into Let's Go that does make like competitive Pokemon catching better and easier. And the first one is that there is a nature fortune teller lady, and you can pay her, I think, 10,000 money, which is a lot.
Pokemon coins.
Yeah, Pokemon coins. And she will, you can tell her what nature you want your Pokemon to be for the next day, which makes shiny hunting and chaining for Pokemon with good stats a lot easier because you can guarantee the nature just by talking to her. And there's this cute little kind of Easter egg. There's an Abra next to her. And that's because to get the correct nature in previous games, you would bring an Abra at the front of your party with correct nature because it has the ability Synchronize, which would then have a 50% chance of passing its nature onto the Pokemon you're catching. Zach has like the most blank stare on his face.
It's fair. It gets.
I know. It's. It goes
you
into it.
You put this stuff in your notes and it looks like math. Like,
I think
it's
I remember
crazy to me.
When I was in high school and I tried to get into some competitive play and I was just like, you know what? It's not for me. It's so much. It is actually a lot of math and calculations.
It just looks like a formula. Like,
And the second thing is that they give you access to the IV judge a lot soon, a lot quicker. So right after you defeat Misty, you can go straight to the. It's like a route connector between. I don't remember the route's names, but just like make a right out of Vermilion and you'll run into it. Go upstairs, talk to the professor, and they'll give you the ability to see how good your Pokemon are.
I think you only have had to catch 30 Pokemon.
Yeah, it was
30 unique Pokemon.
Yeah,
like we should
isn't
do
very
a,
much.
A show that's just the Pokemon hint line. Where we have Casey sitting at this desk and just give people ridiculous stats whenever they call.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
So they added those two things, which are really awesome. But they replaced effort values with ability values, which is actually really nice for more for a more casual game like this, because with effort values, basically you had a pool of 252 stats to allot to your Pokemon. So you could customize them with those, but you had to be very careful about how they learned them, because it's a thing. I won't get more into it. But anyway, with
did you know any of this?
But I still don't know any of this.
With ability ability values, which you give your Pokemon by giving them candy, you can just max out all of your stats by 200. Mm-hmm. And also, unlike effort values, those points are enacted immediately. And you can give it your Pokemon an extra 200 stat points this way in every stat. Mm. So you can theoretically get a level 1 Pidgey and make it 200 plus attack and all of the other stats just by feeding it a bunch of candy.
So can you hustle that way in multiplayer? You can hustle with...
If you get a catch combo of about like 100, you should have enough candy for that Pokemon to max out its stats.
But just that Pokemon. There's a lot of ways you can grind for candy super well too. We have a guide for that.
I guess what I'm asking is, are you hustling people with a like level 1 Pokemon with 200 attack?
A lot of people
do that. Is
that what
you're doing?
A lot of people do that to get past the master trainers.
Get out of here with this. Oh, yeah. It's got me in picture in picture to gauge my reaction. Get out of here with that. Unbelievable. He's just trying to see where the exact moment that my eyes gloss over, and I'm like, yes,
yeah,
good.
The meta stuff is, it gets very interesting.
But the coolest thing I think about this game is that it's the easiest, best way to catch shiny Pokemon ever.
It's crazy.
It is so good. Because I mentioned catch comboing, and that's just catching the same species of Pokemon over and over. And as you do that, once you get to 31, you have a higher chance of getting really good stats, and you also have a really high chance of encountering shiny Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And you see these shiny Pokemon in the overworld.
It's so cool. I remember early on
laughing at me.
Do you farm Pokemon in this one in hopes that you can trade them to the next one? Is that
no? Okay. I think it's just the joy of seeing a shiny Pokemon that you want on screen. It's just
I've seen people keeping threads of all the shiny Pokemon they've caught too. Like, they've caught so many. It's way easier to get them in this one. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, honestly, but it's like fun.
But doesn't that make it less special?
Yeah. So, like, just to put it in perspective, in previous games and previous generations, it was like a 1 in 8,000 chance to run into a shiny Pokemon. In Sun and Moon, it was 1 in 4,096. And it's the same in Pokemon Let's Go, but if you get the shiny charm, you get a catch combo of 31, and you use a lure, you can get that down to 1 in 272. Which is even better than the Masuda method, which would get down to 1 in 512, which involved breeding with a Pokemon from another region.
I want you to know that even Miranda is a little scared right now.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just like...
You're like...
Oh, man.
I thought the Masuda method was 1 in 512.
You know that gif of Zach Galifianakis in... The Hangover, where he's got all the numbers
in his head. Yeah.
That's literally me every time Casey talks about this Pokemon meta. And
I want to go on record.
Yeah, me too. I think it's really impressive. Para's definitely laughing at me during this segment because he sees me just struggling to keep up. Like, yes, good.
So, anything you wanted to know about the hardcore meta stuff, that's about it.
Yeah, whenever you guys want to know meta stuff, like, definitely go to Casey. I'm not the person for meta. Like, I know a lot about Pokemon. Have not bothered to do the meta. You want to talk about Dota meta? I'm here for you. But
what's your Twitter handle so people can ask you directly?
My Twitter handle is shinykcd.
There you go. There's a 1 in 4,096 chance to encounter on Twitter. Perfect. You use the Masuda method.
That's right. Well, this is a perfect chance to segue to a little game that we play here every week on NBC. A little game I like to call the Question Block.
I don't think that is actually a game.
Still not a game.
You say that
every
week.
I know. So our friend Andrew Knowles from Facebook asks, is a 3D open world Pokemon game what the franchise needs next? I think that the only way to reinvent the franchise and create a new Pokemon experience, What do you guys think? 3D open world, is that the jam for the next Pokemon?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love it.
I think that'd be cool to see them shake it up like that.
Yeah.
God, like a Breath of the Wild style world where
you go to any gym you want.
Oh, man.
Get wrecked.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I just want to see Pokemon. So seeing the Pokemon in the overworld in Let's Go was awesome. Seeing them actually live and interact with the world would blow my mind.
So that's weird because that's what you get with like Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
So what I'm most excited for about the Pokemon franchise is them trying these weird one-off games and delivering on a different perspective mm-hmm. of Pokemon.
Pokemon Snap did that too, where you saw yeah. kind of in their natural.
Exactly. Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, there yeah. you go. Yeah. Remember that one? Yeah.
I want another Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, I think same. I think their best chance to like grow the series is going to be in these kind of side games, like with Let's Go.
Interesting.
We get to see different perspectives and yeah. different ways to catch and seeing them in the overworld. Because I think the thing I worry about them with changing the core series is how they keep it competitive, or like how do they change those formulas to make sure you're still leveling the same way?
Yeah.
Like how they go about changing that. I kind of feel like they're going to be hesitant to move away from a sort of league system or mm-hmm. something that's funneling you to some greater purpose of battling. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious to see how they would offer some flexibility to that. Because if it was open world and you get to explore, that's cool. But what's preventing you from getting like the optimum team just at the beginning?
Yeah.
You know, like there's mm-hmm. got to be some sort of barriers or boundaries.
Yeah. yeah. But I'm also imagining a world where like Breath of the Wild, you can go anywhere and do anything, and Pokemon live in certain climates or regions, and so like you just tear ass out at the beginning and just go straight for the swamp where Bulbasaur lives or whatever, because mm-hmm. that's where you want to start, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's really cool. Like, that's an interesting take in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they could do that with the core series.
Yeah, so the thing is, when I'm thinking about that, is in Breath of the Wild, there are things that deter you from going there if you're not ready, right? Like, you'll get damp, like, Link can't survive past a certain point.
Yeah, that's true, like in the heat.
But what's stopping you as a Pokemon trainer? Like, you couldn't, I guess, battle
Charizard
Pokemon?
Pops out of the volcano and burns you to death. You.
Yeah, it's just
rude.
Mm-hmm. Line of fire you cannot pass.
Moving over to email. Our friend Andrew writes in and says, remember, you can email us. Andrew didn't say this. This is from me. Yep. You can email us at nvc@ign.com. I'm doing a pretty bad job at looking at the emails for the show of late. I draw a lot of questions from Facebook, but this one stuck out to me specifically. So, quick question. How much longer do you think Nintendo is going to support the Wii U console with updates? I own a Switch, but I'm thinking of buying a refurbished Wii U for $160 Canadian. I think they call them loonies up there. Seems like the best way to play Metroid Prime Trilogy, Zelda, and games from Nintendo old Nintendo consoles, and it actually has Netflix.
So I do think that they will stop supporting some of the services, especially like the video viewing services, because the install base wasn't very big for this machine.
But
I think like Metroid Prime Trilogy, like, you don't have to worry about it. You'll always be able to play it on that machine.
Plus, they're probably going to bring that to Switch.
It's definitely going to come to Switch. So
yeah.
But the Wii U is also backwards compatible with the Wii. So it has a lot of different things going for it, especially I know the Switch, you can do this, but you can play handheld, but that is also a cool thing that the Wii U can do.
Mm-hmm.
And because it has Netflix on it, you can also watch Netflix on your Wii U and handheld.
That's something you did a lot with your Wii U?
I shared a living room. We had one TV.
And also watch that on your phone.
Well,
That's true.
I don't
know. Bigger. If you really want to watch it on a, there's other ways.
Yes, the way all films were supposed to be seen.
I mean, I'm saying
phone.
If you're already watching it on a smaller, lower resolution device.
I wouldn't worry too much about things getting turned off in the next year, but they're definitely, you know, it's just companies don't like to carry like the baggage of having to make all these things work on past systems. And with online, it does take work. You know, services fail after a while.
If you jump in there and download a bunch of older Nintendo games now, like, I do think that the Wii U is probably the best system to own sort of a back catalog of Nintendo stuff.
And that'd be nice to have.
Yeah.
Especially if it's only 160 loonies. Like, get up there and get it.
So
I think also if you have like a good like chunk of Wii games.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to play your Wii games, that's a good reason to have it too.
I walked into my living room just this week and my table was filled with Wii U games because my kids had broken it out again.
Like, oh, nice.
I have it still hooked up in the living room.
Yeah.
And totally forgot about it, but they dug out a whole bunch of old games and people go back.
Nintendo Land.
All the
so
time.
Good.
Nintendo Land's
great.
And then Smash.
Smash.
Smash they were playing. So I think they're getting ready for the new one.
Yeah.
That's destroy me.
The Wii U has been broken out here in the office for the last couple of weeks as people prepare for Smash.
Yeah. I still think it's worth getting for some of the games that we haven't seen on Switch, but I do think a lot of those games will come over.
Yeah. Moving back to Facebook, our friend Sahar Zahavi asks, how's Thanksgiving? How was it, you guys? How's your Thanksgiving?
I was sick and I moved.
So your Thanksgiving sucked.
So you stayed here. Bummer. You traveled. You went somewhere.
I went to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Visit family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is not where you're from, but that's where your family is.
I went to school in Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma, raised in Texas.
Okay.
Moved out here.
There you go.
And your family moved back there?
Kind of. My twin sister and I both went to school in Oklahoma. She stayed in Oklahoma. My younger sister is now going to school in Oklahoma.
Ah.
Younger brother and grandparents are in Texas.
Okay.
Parents are on the East Coast, so it's easier for us to
see. Just sort of central locale.
So y'all know all about my family.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
And I do have to say our video editor Kirk Carson and his wife were in town for Thanksgiving, so they invited my boyfriend and I over for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
it was very nice to take a break from moving to actually eat
very nice.
Meal.
Yeah.
Good.
I went home and hung out with my parents. It was just the three of us this year. Very small Thanksgiving. It was very low key.
Is it local?
Yeah, I live about an hour and a half from San Francisco, or my parents.
Oh, yeah, you're from Modesto. That's right.
No, I'm not from. Not from Modesto. Gross.
Sorry
to any listeners out there.
I confused you with the real George Lucas.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It was a
George
Lucas.
Young
George
Lucas.
Yeah, I got you. I played quite a bit of Ocarina of Time in my quest to finish that before the end of the year, in honor of its 20th anniversary.
Your Master Quest?
No, I'm just playing the standard one.
I was making a stupid pun. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Oh, my Master Quest. Yes, thank you. And I don't care what anybody says. Lord Jabu Jabu's belly is definitely the worst.
It is the worst dungeon.
Was
somebody
arguing that?
Huh?
Well, I think the general consensus is that the Water Temple is the worst one.
It is.
Actually, Jabu Jabu is the worst, yeah.
Especially in the remake.
We have a whole episode dedicated to this show. Pear, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I stuck around. We just cooked and hung out with family.
What do Germans eat on Thanksgiving?
Germans don't celebrate it.
Well.
But I did.
Sounds like you're lost.
So because we always have too much turkey left over, and I think turkey is like a bad chicken. Like, chicken is always better than turkey. Like,
what?
No
How
matter what you
dare
do,
you.
Chicken is always better than turkey. It's just that there's a... Turkey's budget chicken.
Turkey's
it's just a very big chicken.
Yeah,
I'm not hearing
like
any more
the
of these disparaging
food.
Words.
So, it's like you could have ham, but you're going to have turkey because you're trying to be healthy.
Yeah. Turkey lets,
that's,
though.
That's what I feel like.
Turkey's dumb. But we made turkey breast sous vide.
Okay.
Fancy
boy.
And then it was really good.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually manageable. We ate it and we didn't have to eat leftover turkey for 2 years, like usually happens.
No, the best part of making a whole Thanksgiving turkey on Thanksgiving is that you have a carcass to make soup with after.
Yeah, but. See,
and the best soup you'll ever
make. Thinking
that
turkey is a bad chicken already, I don't want to keep on eating turkey stuff.
That's fair.
Right?
Pear, it's been really great having you on the show. Back over on Facebook, Sam Schumacher asks, what Switch games do you think will be announced at the Game Awards?
Oh, nice. I was going to say, I'll return for Christmas to ruin that
Thank
for you.
Yeah. Tell me about some weird German food you guys eat at Christmas.
Oh,
no, the Game Awards are next week. We're expecting more announcements at the Game Awards this year than ever before. Keeley says that this is the biggest year that they've had yet. So, and that's Jeff Keeley. No disrespect there.
Mm-hmm.
But, what do you think is going to happen at the Game Awards for Switch?
I think we'll see. We'll probably get the first Smash DLC character reveal, something like that. I would love for there to be a reveal of a new Zelda game. Obviously, I was joking about that. I think it's a little bit early, but I think December is this time where Nintendo likes to slip out some big stuff. And cool. I think you'll see something like a Metroid Prime Trilogy Collection or a Star Fox GP, like one of the rumored games.
That was going to be my guess as well. Either a Metroid Prime Trilogy Collection or this supposed Skyward Sword thing that's not happening.
Yep.
Yeah, I think something like that is coming and it's going to be one of those things that's like, and it's available right now, like did with the Breath of the Wild DLC last year.
So, that would be cool.
Yeah.
What about you? You got anything for us?
I just like struck by thinking of a new Zelda game announced already. It's like, dang, seems
a little
too
early.
Soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't
know.
I'm still playing Breath of the Wild. I don't know. I'll play that forever, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I like a new Wario game.
Yeah.
It's just a wishlist thing. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be real nice. I think they could do that at Game Awards.
Be
like
That'd
a
be good.
Thing to do there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have no idea. a Zelda collection for the Switch.
What do you want it to be?
Nice.
What do I want it to be?
You want it to be Monster Hunter Mini World Switch.
Monster Hunter World for the Switch?
Mini World for
Mini
Switch?
Mini World. It's the same.
It's like Pocket,
it's
Final Fantasy
de-evolved,
Pocket Edition.
Yeah. Big Head, yeah. It's a Big Head version of it.
I hate that so much.
No.
Guys, we're fresh out of time. We talked about Pokemon and all the Zelda news and all kinds of stuff. We're out. We're done.
Know so much about Pokemon now.
I know.
I didn't know. I never knew.
Our brains are packed with Pokemon information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah.
And
Pear
also
on
this show.
Thanks for having me too.
Thank you. This is good. I feel like I always do okay right until the end and then I fall apart when I try to do an outro.
Fine.
Guys, this has been a good episode. I've had a real good time. Next week, it's time for Smash. That's right. We're going to settle it in Smash. It's going to be all about the characters getting out there and punching each other and throwing all kinds of fireballs and stuff.
Can people beat you up at the IGN event in LA?
Smash? I'll be there. I am terrible at Smash, so that's almost guaranteed.
So it's look it up. It's called IGN Fan Fest. There may still be some tickets, which are free available.
That's true. Yeah. If you're in the LA area on December 7th.
It is the day Smash comes out, but you will be able to play Smash there and destroy people like Zach Ryan.
It's a good thing you aren't making people choose between playing Smash and going to the event.
Yeah. It's a Switch. You bring it.
Why not both? Perfect. You know. Yeah. Next week, our whole episode will probably be entirely devoted to Smash. It's going to be the biggest thing on the Nintendo. Well, with the exception of Monster Boy, Pear is very, very adamant
about
Monster
playing it too and likes it too. So
How come I'm not playing it? Where's my code, Pear?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, guys, stick around next week. We're going to talk about Smash and we're going to talk about where you can.
Get the thing?
You're a little delayed on that one. That's all right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Not a game.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.